Shrugged family, coming back on a Saturday. We have Mr. John Swanson, the CEO of the Granite Games, who spent 5 days out at the Granite Games this past weekend, recorded 7 shows. What an awesome weekend. I am so grateful that we were able to attend. Working with John was an amazing experience. Everybody out there was incredibly friendly. We were able to be a part of him launching the Granite Games into the mainstream of the CrossFit season, which is incredibly cool. We had a big roundtable event on Thursday night, which Jason Kalipa was the keynote speaker. John Swanson also was able to get up on stage and tell the world and announce it before CrossFit put up that they were going to be one of the new regional events on the circuit for qualifying for the games. So instead of having a 1-year process to turn the Granite Games over, they've got like 10 months and they are going to be the final stop on the circuit to qualifying for the CrossFit Games. So incredibly cool. What a great time to be in the CrossFit community. What a great time for us to be at the Granite Games. I am just super happy that we were able to be there. I also want to give a very special shout out to Adam Smith, the guy who took care of us all weekend. Every single time we needed a coffee, a water, maybe some snacks, the guy was just right there and took care of us, and it was just super appreciated. From top to bottom, every single person we met, phenomenal human beings, phenomenal time, and very grateful we were able to be a part of the experience and able to sit down with John and just kind of understand the vision of where they've been, where they're going over the last 8 years, understand his background and why this event was started in the first place. Really stoked for you guys to listen to the show, and we'll catch you at the break. Talk soon. Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. I'm Anders Varner. We are hanging out at the Granite Games, the Killcliff Granite Games. And we've had an amazing experience from the round tables on Thursday night. Bunch of killer interviews yesterday. And now Doug Larson in the house. And we are hanging out with John Swanson, the CEO. Is that the official title?
Yeah.
The mastermind behind this entire thing. This has been an incredible event. We are staying over the courtyard. I literally feel like every single time I go down into the lobby, it's like the who's who of the fitness world hanging out. Much to your hard work and bringing all these people together. It's very cool.
Yeah, it's. I'm always a little shocked that people say yes.
Well, they say yes because you bring everything that's here. Like you guys started this event, what, 8 years ago now?
Yeah, 2011. October.
Yeah, and that was kind of in the 2011 in the CrossFit space. Nobody was dreaming or thinking big about what this could be 8 years later at all. What was kind of the beginning of the Granite Games? Were you guys thinking purely this small local competition, or was regional kind of the idea at the beginning?
So year one, I had just retired from playing hockey, and there was an individual that joined my gym, and she was well over 300 pounds and on an amazing journey. And, you know, she went on to absolutely transform her life, like CrossFit has done for so many individuals. But I kept calling her an athlete. And to me, athlete's not about what your body can do, but it's how you attack life from a mental state of just, you know, just that, you know, competitive mindset to be better in everything, fatherhood, business, life. And I kept calling her an athlete, and she one day basically told me to go get blanked in class. And I was like, whoa, okay. And then I sat back, and I was like, okay, she's 300 pounds. She's never played in a sport in her life, and she probably is offended that I'm trying to call her an athlete because she doesn't – there's nothing inside her that makes her feel that way.
Yeah.
And so I tried to get myself in her shoes, and I was like, well, how do you make somebody feel like an athlete that's never been an athlete? Well, you have to create something where they have butterflies. And so I was like, I'm going to create an event, a competition – and we're going to cap it. We're going to only make it local athletes. And we're going to have like 20 people do it. But it was just really for her. And so we actually had 49 athletes do it. And it was awesome. She competed. She got her name on the back of her shirt. Mm-hmm. And she had butterflies. And she had that experience, right? And then at that moment on, she was an athlete.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's about the mindset of the individual, not the physical capacity.
Yeah.
Everybody's an athlete. And that's how we started it. And then year two, we had, you know, 99 athletes come. And all of a sudden, wow, now we had people coming from, like, out of state. And I was like, well, this is really weird. And I said to my wife, Jessica, I just said, if we're going to either do this, we have to go really big. You either got to be a big fish or you got to stay really small.
Yeah.
And so big at the time was moving on this floor, first workout, Marcus Philly snatching, Akinwale, you know, Tovar, you know, all these people are in the building. I'm like, wow.
So year three, you had started to have, like, big names show up.
Yeah. And we moved venues because the first 2 years were in my gym. It was tiny. And, you know, 49 athletes, 99. Year three, we thought we knew what we were doing. And that was a year that, like, literally killed us. It was a really, really hard year because you realized we had no clue what we were doing. You know, I always say we're here today because we were lucky enough to start so early, and then we made all our mistakes before people were watching.
Yeah.
So that's how we got in this. Was there was no intent of being a sanctioned event. There was no intent of having, you know, one of the largest fitness. That I wish I could say that I had a master plan. We created the event for one person to help her overcome an obstacle that she was facing.
Well, I think a real testament to what you guys have built and the culture of all of this here is, man, at the time when you guys started it, there was a lot, like, it was kind of like you got your chops at these, like, local/regional competitions. And in SoCal, we had the OC Throwdown. The Granite Games was out in the Midwest. The Bergeron had one in the Northeast Champion. ECC, that's right. The Garage Games was a big one in the South. Mm-hmm. There's one up in Washington, I believe, isn't there?
There was Cascade came in.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're still happening. You got Wadapalooza. I mean, there was Jeremy Teal had his event. I think it's the Fittest Games.
Yeah, so we had that. It was like kind of sectioned off of, like, this is where you find out if what you're doing is working before CrossFit's the season starts. And there's only like two of those still around. Maybe three.
Yeah. This thing, this event space is really tough. You know, there's a lot of times people think it's a 3-day deal and it's like, well, we've been here for 2 weeks and, you know, you don't get to see your son or daughter for 10 days. I haven't seen my kids and I'm sleeping at the same house they're at, but I'm coming home at 11 o'clock and leaving at 6 in the morning. And so I think it's a real grind.
Yeah.
Just as being a professional athlete in this sport, right? What's the life cycle of an athlete and what's the longevity of a director? It's, you know, not that I need people to feel sorry for us. It's the path I've picked, but it's harder than I think what the eye can see.
Yeah. Everyone.
I don't think people realize that you work all year for one weekend, just like an athlete trains all year for the games. It's not like the 6 weeks leading up to the games, they get in shape. It's like, it's a year round thing to get ready for a big competition like this, I would think.
Yeah, we had in August, we had our 2019 planning meetings. Mm-hmm. So we had dates picked out. Obviously, everything just changed. So that meeting, we had an 8-hour planning meeting, which was, it was really a beautiful thing to see the team, like, pause. Let's look forward. Oh, by the way, we have this huge thing coming in 30 days.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we had a great planning meeting, and we have to scrap it, and we'll roll with the punches, and we'll pick back up right after this.
Yeah, and just as context, not only have you guys made it 8 years, been one of the very few large regional competitions, but you guys just got announced as it was. I would imagine, I actually thought you guys would be the first announcement, but it's nice to be able to do a live announcement in front of all the athletes and all the fans and everyone. But you guys are part of the new structure of the CrossFit Games and how that is going to roll out for many years to come.
Yeah, it's even if, you know, the fact that we were just thought about was crazy.
Yeah.
You know, I can honestly say that every year I've questioned, can we keep doing this? Because it is hard. It's really hard. And there's, for the first 6 years, I was never committed to the next year. I was like, well, we'll take a look a couple months after and see if we want to do it again. Obviously now already having our planning meetings, like, we're all in.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's, I would call it a complete honor to even just be mentioned amongst Dubai and Wadapalooza and, you know, some of the other events. Those guys are putting on legit shows, and you know, we're in St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Well, I was going to say, I'm not by any means part of the ownership group, but it's like, it's a very cool feeling.
Yeah.
Just even being here and, like, knowing. And I was a very large part of the OC Throwdown back in the day, and it probably took at least, you know, 10 to 12 years off my life every time we tried to throw that event. So I know what goes into it, and then you really have no idea. I mean, every year that we did it, it was literally like we'd wake up a week later and you'd be like, are we going to do that again? That might have been really stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know what we did over the last 6 months that provided, like, a lot of value to our family. And then, because it's so many hours, and then we saw you on Friday morning and you didn't sleep. We just found out that you were changing a bunch of equipment around and things didn't work out. And that happens every single year. And then a week later, you wake up and you're like, I don't know, if that probably wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
There isn't an amount of money that would maybe worth the pain that was. And then all of a sudden, you make it. Or maybe not you make it, but you get to a point where it's like, oh, there is a reason we're doing all of this hard work.
Yeah.
And it's because it provides a ton of value for the people that are here. And now you're able to actually reach people on this, like, almost global level as a place where people can come to have a great experience.
Yeah, it's a massive fitness meetup is what it's turned into, and you know, you guys are somebody that I've always looked up to. And you know, the crazy part, like you said, when you're doing the OC, I mean, I looked up to the OC. I was studying their marketing packages, the branding, the whole, like, we all used each other to grow, because the truth is nobody knew what they were doing. We were all guessing.
Yeah.
And so we had to study the other events, and through that we all grew together, which is really neat to see happen. In 8 years, I've been a volunteer. I've never taken a paycheck. I feel blessed that I have an amazing gym, and you know, we do some affiliate consulting. And so to me, this thing is like, CrossFit provided an opportunity for my life to move past hockey.
Yeah.
And so, you know, each year when you're a volunteer and you work 365 days and you're the person that takes on the risk, I mean, there's years where, you know, we've lost 100K and I had to go find money to pay our bills because we owed people money. And we did not have a good year.
Yeah.
Is it one of those things where even if you did make money, the expectation every year is that next year is going to be bigger and better and more badass than the year before. And so even if you made money, you got to dump it into the next year to make it that much better.
I think I went on record saying the other day, I'm like, the expectations of the growth of the event are faster than the revenues. So the expectation is, it's something I've talked to a couple of the other groups. I'm like, guys, we have to find the happy medium. Like, you know, a couple of years ago, the athletes expected shoes and shorts, and like what they get at the CrossFit Games is, you know, what, a $2,000 or $3,000 package for 300 athletes, 400 athletes, and it's coming from a company that's worth, you know,
$1 billion.
Yeah,
Probably multiple billions. Yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah.
And so the hardest part is like, try to provide as much as we can for the athletes, but it not have it sink the ship so the event happens the next year, right? So it's that balance of like, it's like your children. You got to get them to be as happy as they can, but at the same time, disciplining them in their own right that they grow up to be young, you know, individuals that we're proud of. And so sometimes that means saying no. And that's a hard thing to say.
Yeah.
We were the first to kind of pull the shoe package. Like, we can't keep doing this. This is absurd. Like, and it's absurd to ask, you know, our sponsors for this. You know, there's 2,000 people competing here today. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, that's semi-loads of shoes. And so the infrastructure of like what they do at the games and trying to model that, but also pausing for a second saying, okay, that's what they do there. What can we learn from it? How can we grow from it? But what actually fits our event and how can we make that happen?
Yeah.
And
I don't think anybody understands just the equipment that you have to put into this. So like it used to be, let's get a bunch of barbells and bumper plates and let's roll them out. Well, now we have to have blue barbells because that's the new cool thing. It has to look cool.
Yeah.
There has to be pageantry to this thing. It can't just, like, the entertainment factor, the way it looks and feels and all that matters, and that's really expensive.
Yeah.
And you can't just roll. You used to be able to, I'm sure your first one, you did it at the gym. You were, like, rolling out your black bumper plates. Like, whatever. Who cares what they look like? And, you know, just stack them up. No, you can't do that anymore. You have to have the beautiful red and blue and yellow plates. You have to have, you know, just the rig that you guys have outside. If you're going to build an obstacle course, well, it has to look, you know, CrossFit Games has set the obstacle course to look like this, so that's now the expectation. Nobody thinks, wow, that cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people that have to build that thing. Yeah. Someone's got to be in charge of that.
It was, that obstacle course is, I think it looks legit.
Yeah.
Looks super legit.
Totally.
But with things looking professional comes a crazy expense.
Yeah.
This year we did, they're doing the One Rep Max right now, and every barbell is brand new, customized, earn not given on it with this year's logo. And they're green, and they, you know, it's just, but part of that goes into, you know, big thing that we're about is eliciting the emotion of being an athlete. And so I've never really been a CrossFit athlete. I've been a CrossFitter, but I don't get to compete because I'm on the other side.
Yeah.
I have to imagine when you walk up to your barbell and you hook in and the barbell says earn not given, it's got to be, it's something you cannot get at your gym.
Yeah.
And that's part of what the expectation we also have to do, right?
Yeah.
The rig here is longer. The equipment they get to play with here, they never seen before. And CrossFit set that standard, and that's what makes the space cool.
Yeah.
And so what we've been forced to do is find creative ways to hold that standard without sinking the ship as it moves forward.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's that balance of make it amazing, make sure you can have the event next year.
Yeah. Well, you guys also have put a ton of value in just in the athletes. Like, there's 2,000 of them here. Has that been a really conscious decision that the athlete is going to be the focus versus vendors, spectators? I mean, you have to think about those things, but 2,000 athletes is a huge number.
So we've always been, first and foremost, athlete first.
Yeah.
Second, and that's the thing that I would say we don't always get right, but it's the thing that we try to always get right. A lot of times our vendors have been an afterthought. Our spectators have been an afterthought. And that's why I look at other events. I look at, like, Wadapalooza. I think you look at an event that puts on a show, like, it's a spectacle. Their event is amazing from a spectator side. And so we're trying to – Grid was the same thing. From a spectator side, they did such an amazing job of how they laid out the floor, the decals, the progressions, all those things, the games. I mean, this year at the games, like, the pageantry of the event. And so it's – that's what we're trying to improve is, like, making it much more consumable for the fan.
Yeah.
Now, and same thing with, you know, our partners. The round tables that we did this year, huge thing for the athletes, huge thing for – the professional athletes in the space to be able to give back. Huge things for our partners. We're trying to think a little bit outside the box now of, like, okay, athletes are number one focus. How can we pull some other people in? How can we help everybody win? Whether it's a spectator, an athlete, vendor, you know, a partner. And that's the mission we're on.
Yeah.
That was dope, by the way. Like, all the people that got to walk around, just meet whoever their, you know, famous superstar is, with Jason Kalibas and Brooke Entz's of the world. Like, those people just walk around on the floor, and if you were just a mess with the audio,
yeah,
there you go, a little better.
Yeah,
that was really cool for all those people that got to just walk around and meet any number of two or three dozen, like, super famous, you know, CrossFitters. Like, how fun would that be if you, like, looked up at this person on Instagram for your whole life and then just got to walk around and meet, like, 10 of them and within 30 minutes?
I walked into the room where we were staging everybody, and I was just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, Chris Spieler was my level one coach. Jason Kalipa, games champion. Ben Smith. I'm like, the amount of fitness inside this room before they took the floor.
Right.
I was like, and then I had to speak in front of all of them. And I'm like, oh, this is not my forte. I don't, like, keep it short, John. Don't screw it up. Don't mumble. Like, yeah, it was incredible. I hope the athletes look back at what a neat experience. And it was interesting. Ben Smith came up to me afterwards. And he goes, dude, that was awesome. Do you know how fun it is just to get to talk to these individuals? Or, like, Marcus Philly's like, that was perfect. I got to hear where they're actually at in their journey, and that actually helps me with what he's doing.
Yeah,
totally.
And so that was a completely unknown. I was like, this could bomb and none of these people ever come back again, or they'll see it for what it is, as very early on, cool concept, we got to grow it, we got to build on it, we can do better. But it was 40 days ago that we said, let's do this.
Where people listen to the show and how people consume the words that come out and just in their cars. I always assume, and then you meet people from, like, Australia, and they're like, you're the face to the voice. I know you. Technique Wad. Like, you guys are awesome. Yeah. And you're like, wait, Australia?
Yeah.
What, this thing goes that far? Like, holy crap. It's just so cool to meet people actually that are, like, listening to what goes on. And, like, we can sit here and reach tens of thousands of people, but when you actually meet the one person, It's always like the, to me, it's just, I'm like, really, you listen to this thing? Like, I thought we were just kind of talking to our friends.
The,
like, per, just,
the person you were referring to was so awesome. Yeah. She was like, you, you're the host. Those eyes. Yeah. Oh, those eyes. And you were just like, whoa.
Well, you guys posted a picture on Instagram of her. She's going to, I hope she listens and she's going to love this. Mm-hmm. You posted a picture of her on Instagram last night, and I want to say it was like her first bar muscle up, and she's 60 years old or something like that. Mm-hmm. And like, you can just see her face was like the most excited person in the world for sure in that moment. And I was like, that lady, she loves her life. Like, she is in Minnesota right now. She just got her first bar muscle up in front of thousands of people, and that's why this thing exists. It's so cool.
I saw that photo. And I said, if one photo could capture who we are as a group, a community, that was the photo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing that would make it different if there was more people in the photo is just her.
Right.
But her expression, her energy, and just everything. You could, her photo tells the story of what our community is about.
Yeah.
It was so neat.
And the progression, I mean, she's 60 years old. She just did a bar muscle up. What the hell is that? Like,
my first thought was actually like, did they program bar muscle ups for 60-year-old women? Like,
that's insane.
Yeah, I'm impressed they could do it at all. I don't train 60-year-old women. Like, I didn't know that was a thing for them.
No clue.
They asked for it. So one of the things that I do is we have a private community page, and I allow our athletes to be very vocal. And so the master is like, John, we're ready. Don't take that away from us. We're ready. We want it. And I'm like,
dang.
All right. And which scares me. But I'm like, I have to listen to the community because this is community-driven. I mean, we are a community-driven event. And if the group, the audience, the teens, I under-programmed the teens so bad two years ago.
How could you know?
Yeah.
They're freaks.
They did it like a workout that was supposed to be a four-minute workout. And one of the kids, one of my floor directors texts me and she goes, this kid just went unbroken and did it 9 seconds. And my first thought was
9 seconds?
90.
Oh, 90.
It was supposed to be like a four-minute workout. And I was like, dude, he was moving like RX weight.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
So one critical is we allow the community to give us feedback. So I'm for her to have that moment, that never happens if they're not comfortable saying, we're ready as a group. Like, we work hard just like everybody else does. Don't take it and modify it too much that we can't show how hard we've been working.
Yeah.
Knowing, though, that they're not a professional athlete and understanding the volume. So there's – the pros are easy to program for. Mm-hmm. The masters and the teens and the scale to get it right. Is it actually takes way more thought.
Yeah. The look at that. Coffee
actually
showed up, a t-shirt. Yep.
Speaking of programming, now that you guys are a CrossFit sanctioned event, do you still have full control over what the workouts are since you're qualifying people for the games?
Yeah. One of the interesting things, and I think the beautiful things, Coach has talked about is he believes that we should be able to keep telling our story and allow us to have that control. Now, there's going to be some review, which I look at it as like, that's great. Like, I think it's great that they're going to review that our safety plans and a lot of these things. I think is really going to rise the tides of all the events. Mm-hmm. I think what we talked about earlier with some of the events that are no longer, if this was now the case, I think those events are here.
Yeah.
I think they're here. And I think our community is stronger. And I think now that we're finally realizing that we can pull those guys in, I think it'll be great. I think the workouts getting reviewed by HQ, I'm all in for.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid to show that stuff and that process. But I also would say I would have never agreed if I had to give it up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You guys are also doing like a very cool thing with some charity work. And that seems, I mean, in your talk to all of the people that were doing the roundtables, that was like at the kind of the core central message of what you guys are trying to do here. It's not just the event, but how do we make this not in the charity stuff, but giving back to the gyms. And that's a very large piece of the messaging that you guys have going on here.
This your son, dude?
This is my little one. I haven't seen these guys in 10
days. Bud.
Yeah. He is two.
Awesome.
He's like the biggest two-year-old in the world.
Dude, he's a huge two-year-old.
Oh, yeah.
Check that guy out. I was like, is he 3-4 years old?
Yeah.
Killing it.
And he's bigger than his 4-year-old sister right there.
See that.
And she loves unicorns like you would not believe. So,
That's great.
I think, so one, allowing us to do the programming is amazing. We were talking a little bit about never ever give up. One of the things that's, I left the event last year and I was sitting here and I think about these two a lot and legacy and I think about, like, it's kind of weird to say, but like laying on your deathbed, like building this event, I don't think leaves a legacy.
Yeah.
But I think understanding the what we've built and then taking it and using it for the most good possible, I think that can leave legacy. And so I looked at it, I'm like, okay, I have the eyes and the ears of a lot of individuals. It is my social responsibility to figure out how to do the most good in the world as I can. And so that's when we paired up with Jason and Never Ever Give Up. And I was like, okay, we have, you know, 6,000 to 8,000 people coming in. How do we make an actual social impact that changes people's lives that we'll never meet? And that's where the round tables were inspired. That's where the fundraising was inspired. I mean, we're hoping to hit $50,000 just this year, or some of the stuff we've done with the CrossFit affiliates. But that's just getting started. That's something I can walk away, and when I walk away from doing this, hang my hat on and say, I'm proud of that. Because this is cool, but after you've done it for a couple of years, you've done it.
It's work.
It's work. But if I can go out and raise and change somebody's life and help them go through something that I could never imagine going through myself,
yeah,
I think it was a flight I was on. I was coming back from a conference, and the conference I was at, they raised, it was like $2 million in 2 hours. And it was a bunch of business owners, and the nonprofit was working to end sex trafficking. And Tony Robbins was speaking, and there's a bunch of business owners in the room. And what we ended up buying was, it was beautiful how they did it. They sold us a t-shirt and the recording to the Tony Robbins talk for $400. And we all lined up and got behind the cause.
Right.
And that, you know, we got something out of it. We got Tony, and he's an amazing person to listen to. But on top of it, we made a massive impact. And they showed where that $2 million, how it got spent. You know, it takes like $1,800 to save a child. And it takes another $2,000 to actually rehabilitate them so they can go on and live a normal life.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, I felt horrible about who I was and what I had not done with my event. And I was like, we have to do something. We have to make a change. And that change has to start like tomorrow. I think I called my team and I was like, we're starting a nonprofit. This whole event is going to transform overnight. And that was our hammer. We swung.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing that is going to drive this event. And it's also, I think, what's allowed the volunteers to get behind it.
Yeah.
You know, when they can understand what we're really doing is actually nothing to do inside this room, but something that lives outside of us.
Yeah.
For people that didn't come to this event, is there a way, like, on your website for them to donate?
This year, the issues with the donations is making sure we don't break any legalities, because there's some stuff with that. And so that's the thing of, you know, the event I went to was, I think, in June, and we were like, we're doing this, and we just went with it. So the long-term goal is to understand how to get all that stuff set up. But we went from just being an event company to, okay, we're gonna create a gathering, and then we're gonna do some cool things. So the short answer is no. As much as I would appreciate it, I want to make sure that we do it the right way and we don't break any rules and get in trouble. But long-term is use the platform to change people's lives inside of CrossFit, but also use that social responsibility to help do more good in the world.
Are you guys in this kind of new, I guess we could call it a partnership with CrossFit and headquarters and the games and all that, do they help back a lot of the social stuff that you guys are doing? Or are they really just focused on finding the number one person that's going to walk into this event? Or is it, let's bring the Granite Games to the forefront of kind of this fitness scene and elevating all of the missions that you guys are doing? Or is it just the competition side?
That answer, I don't know. And it's not because I don't want to answer. It's because I don't know.
Yeah.
I think CrossFit is and their partners are open that they want to see these 16 thrive.
Yeah.
They've been very vocal about, you know, creating success for all of us. Whether they're going to get behind our initiatives, they have their own initiatives. And so I don't expect them to help push my initiatives. That's for me to go out and move the needle on. My expectation is they're going to help us continue to strengthen relationships with, like, Rogue and help get athletes here in the media and that stuff. I mean, the media is insane trying to track down these individuals that, you know the sport and can shoot the sport and tell the story of what's happening. So the partnership is going to be good. It's also going to be a learning curve.
Yeah.
It's brand new.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's new of 14 days ago.
Yeah, you said 16 events. Is that the number?
That'll be it sounds like that'll be the benchmark of what they're going to try to get to. I don't think it'll be there right away. Maybe it
no.
is.
Yeah.
And I just and in that world, I would openly say, I don't know. And my focus is we are one of them, and that's as far as my focus goes in that world.
Yeah.
I just got to focus on us getting ready for June.
I'm not even – I don't think it's too far-fetched to say. I think it would be very, very hard to find 16 people. We got the little ones hanging out. We're going to put a microphone on him. That's awesome.
Nope, it won't work, buddy.
Dude.
You want to say hi to everybody? Say hi.
Oh, there it
and
is.
Then
oh.
And then
that
he gets shy.
Moment. That was
I
his
gave
moment.
A shot.
I mean, those curls, though, he looks like a little baby JT.
Dude, wait till that hockey hair comes in. He's going to have some wings out the side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was just saying that I'm willing. I don't think it's too far-fetched to say, like, finding 16 people that have the experience and have the resources and the ability to dream something this large up is its own problem. And then are they going to be able to fulfill that dream and vision of what they need to build something like this?
Yeah.
Considering there's maybe 6-7 of them globally that have been around for a couple years right now.
I think one of the things that we'll see it shake out, and I don't know if this is true or not, I don't know if all the events will be like this.
Yeah.
You know, something that comes to mind is it may be a little bit more ECC style. So it's you know, a 10-lane rig Ben used to run, and it was more spectators than it was athletes. I think, you know, Wadapalooza, what they're doing, you know, that's a big, massive fitness festival. This is a big, massive fitness festival. I don't think they're going to create 16 massive fitness festivals. What I think will happen is we'll see maybe a little bit more of the Dubai style event, because those are, I wouldn't call them easier, because I don't want to, that's not, less moving pieces.
Yeah.
There's, the logistics of this thing is, I mean, if you see our schedule, it's insane.
Yeah.
Just the blocks you're moving around. Mm-hmm. So when it all shakes out, I foresee there'll be fitness festivals, and then there'll be also just some events, some invitationals, more maybe a little bit more similar to like how tennis works.
Shark family, want to remind you to get into the program vault. $47 a month, 11 goal-specific programs, and everything from CrossFit, mass gain. We're going to be getting shredded in there pretty soon, so get ready for that. The Shrugged Strength Challenge, that's a CrossFit program. The Mass Gain Challenge, you're going to get huge, 26 pounds in 26 weeks. And then Flight Weightlifting, our best-selling Olympic weightlifting program. All of that, 18-plus month programs, all three of those. And then you've got your choice of 8 shorter term programs, 3 months long, used as accessory programs on your normal training, or you can mix and match and combine them to make it more goal-specific training, depending upon what you're looking for. $47 a month, 11 programs. We just had an awesome Labor Day sale. We've got tons of people in there hanging out, the private Facebook group, all the coaching, all the videos, all the people. We're excited about it. So get over to shruggedcollective.com/vault. Once again, shruggedcollective.com/vault. $47 a month, 11 programs. Get to shruggedcollective.com/vault. You're going to get super huge. You're going to be stronger, cooler, faster. We're going to talk in a Facebook group. It's going to be super cool. shruggedcollective.com/vault. $47 a month, 11 goal-specific programs. Back to the show. When you look at the landscape of other just fitness competitions, we've talked a little bit about Spartan, and just is there a model in which you guys expand this into multiple locations, or is the focus purely just let's make the Granite Games as amazing as it can be in one event, because it's going to take a full year to plan these things out anyways?
We've played with the idea of creating an invitational, and it is written on the planning map. So I like the idea of doing something like that. It's a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
The throwdowns that we're doing right now in coming out of the beta year with them, I think 8,000 athletes or 10,000 athletes competed in year one of the throwdowns.
Man, those numbers are insane to me when you say that.
Yeah, they're insane to me as well.
Yeah.
By all means. Like I say them, and every now and then, like, I'll be talking to a partner, and I'll say the number, and I'm like, you know what? Let me check that number real quick, because I don't want to oversell you on something. And I come back and I'm like, it was actually bigger.
Yeah.
The throwdowns were averaging, it's between 4,000 and 6,000 athletes per, and we ran four of them last year. We have one in December coming up. Those will be actually a qualifying event for the Granite Games. So the Granite Games is going to split into two components. We'll have our team of three component, which is our we'll call it the amateur side of things, which is I would call it the very much the communal side of things.
Yep.
And so we'll have a throwdown, your team of three scaled intermediate. You can punch your ticket by finishing top five worldwide. Eerily similar to what just got announced with CrossFit.
Yeah.
And then we'll have our pro side, which will be individuals, and then your two males, two females. So kind of two events actually happening at the same time just inside this fitness festival.
Yeah. I actually remember when we all kind of had the regional events thinking it would be so smart of CrossFit to just hire all these competitions to kind of do some of that work for them, and then they started their own regional thing, which kind of like wiped that idea out for 5 years.
And the regionals were well done.
Oh, they were awesome, yeah. Which is probably why they had to stop, because this shit's expensive.
Yeah. We went to Nashville the last couple of years and Minneapolis, and you know, we have friends competing. It's not work for me.
Yeah.
So I like going. And I sit there as a fan, but also as an event producer, I guess you could say. And like even the games, I sit there and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
They're doing, this is such a good show.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
When we walked into the games, the first thing I saw was the wraparound banner on the stadium. And I just looked at that and I was like, 20 grand. I don't know, but it was just like, you look at it and you're like, nobody's thinking about how expensive that is or how cool that is. They just expect it to be there.
Yep.
Like, it just looks nice, so it's there.
Yeah, we use the term Disney. You know, Granite Games is, we more print this year, more banners. I want people to feel like this is the fitness of Disney when they come. And we were down at Disney for a fitness, a conference. And you walk inside Disney and you're no longer in the world. You're in Disney's world.
Yeah.
And I think that's what CrossFit's done. I mean, they took the fairgrounds there and it feels like CrossFit land.
Yeah.
And that's not easy to do. And they did a really good job of it. I mean, you walk in the Coliseum and there's 15-foot pictures of these, you know, athletes you absolutely look up to. And it's they become larger in life by just blowing them up as well. You know, we try to do the same thing here and with our athlete creed and the mantra and all that stuff. So, yeah, tons of respect for what CrossFit has done. You know, even bringing all the athletes out Thursday night in the ceremony and having that Olympic feel to it, that gave me chills. Like, my hair was standing watching that because you guys have been in this for far longer than I have. 2011, we're only like 1,000 gyms, 2,000 gyms then.
Yeah.
It wasn't huge yet. Mm-hmm. And I started following CrossFit in 2007 was when I first got out. We were talking the other night. I asked somebody, I said, do you know where CrossFit's actual community page really was? And everybody was guessing. I was like, it was the message boards.
Yeah.
You used to write in there, and that's where the community lived.
Yeah.
I said, it's radically different now. But so to see that growth and how they're able to put that event on is incredible.
I remember when it actually changed, because the message board was where everybody hung out, and then all of a sudden there was 2014-ish, where the CrossFit community thing was really just your gym, mm-hmm. where it went from this like message board, everybody was kind of in the message board, posting times, comments, conversations, and then it just stopped.
Yeah.
The message board went away and everybody's communicating only in their gym. Like, there was enough people doing it where that conversation left the internet and became like an actual community inside the gym. It's weird to think that it could come this far, like you're saying.
Yeah, it's insane.
But where does it go?
I don't know.
I mean, you guys it's got to grow, and it's with these changes, and you've got 16 events coming up. You guys almost have your own like sectionals coming in. It's a very exciting time in that they can create such a progression to an entire year and a season. And now there are people, whether they're making any money or not is a different thing, but they've committed their lives, well, until they're 32, 33 years old. They can't do it anymore, but it's a real thing. I was sitting next to people on the plane the other day that like they had no idea that we talk on these microphones, and I was just eavesdropping, listening to their conversation of, like, what is the 23-year-old CrossFit athlete talking about now? And it's awesome. They love it. These people are so committed to this life, and they're so dialed into everything that's going on with the games and the future, and everyone's scared. They don't know how to get their training right. And I was just sitting there listening, and I was like, you guys are awesome. Like, this is so real to you. This is your entire life now. Like, I don't know how, like, how do we keep growing this thing and making it better?
I think one of the things that to continue to grow it, we can't lose foresight, though, of why we're here. And that's maybe crazy to say, but, like, at the end of the day, we're here for health and wellness. And so the thing that does scare me is when the changes happened, people lost it. And, you know, we all have to zoom out. Like, 99.9% of us aren't professionals. We're just moms and dads, sons and daughters, and we're using this vehicle to live a better quality of life. So that's the one thing that I always try to remind our members at our gym is some things we can't control, and that's okay. Roll the punches, but understand that the vehicle we're here ultimately is to be used to live in a life that you want to be able to do whatever it is you can do. Now, sure, competing, you know, is fun, but don't allow that component to overtake the larger things that really matter in the world.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that's also what Coach is trying to message. He's trying to get across with health. It's like, hey, this whole thing was started for something completely different. Mm. It's here to, you know, change the world and, you know, end a lot of, you know, negative things that are happening.
Well, you guys have had a gym just, what you said, 8 miles from here. It started it. When did the gym open?
2011. So gym opens at June 1, and first event was October 1st or 4th. Or so.
Wow.
It was guns ablaze. And I retired. I tore my ACL, and I think I landed right before April 1st, and I had my level 1. I literally landed the day before my L1 was. I had it scheduled overseas. I actually emailed HQ. I missed registration. I was still playing. When my knee was tore, I was like, all right, I can't play for a year, so I might as well open a gym. I had been following CrossFit for 5 years already.
And you were playing hockey?
Yeah.
Cool.
And so I was just so excited to join the community. Like, I felt like an outsider because I couldn't do it 8 months out of the year. And so getting the opportunity to open the gym and, you know, actually give back. Because hockey, I felt like playing professionally felt selfish after a while.
Where'd you play at?
I played at St. Cloud State collegiately. Very cool. And then, which is fun. Like, if you look closely, I'm on the walls in there. Still.
Very cool.
I don't like to point it out because it's odd and weird. But, and then I played professionally. So I never played in the NHL. I played basically AHL, ECHL, and then I played in Europe and Norway.
Killer.
So Europe was.
ECHL.
Yep.
Whew, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
The Norfolk Admirals.
My first professional game. I played on Norfolk.
Yeah, I lived in Virginia Beach, so I had season tickets to them.
Yeah.
I used to skate in between periods.
Yeah.
The pretty radical.
What is it? Scope Arena.
Yeah.
Scored my first goal, my first game. I was like cloud nine, and then a couple years later, I tore my knee, and it was like oddly a blessing. Like, I walked away, I was sitting in this little apartment in Norway, all alone, and I just like, this is your awesome opportunity to walk away from a sport. Nobody can question you while you're walking away. You know, you got an injury to use as an escape goat, and I did. I was like, I want to do this new thing, and nobody knew about CrossFit. There was not a gym in this town. And my family's like, why are you walking away? You get paid good money to play this game you love. And I was like, but I want to do this new thing. And, like, my family hated me for the first, like, 2 years. Mm-hmm. Like, you're so dumb. You should go back and play. You should go back and play. And now I look back, and I'm like, thank goodness I was willing to take that risk and step away. Or not take the risk. Like, I had to. Like, that was a beauty.
Were you married and all that when you opened?
I wasn't. And I also will say, thank goodness I wasn't married and I didn't have kids.
I think we can all agree
totally.
To that.
Yeah.
God, that would not have worked.
Yeah. You know,
I don't know if my wife would have lived in the gym with me for like a year and a half.
Yeah.
It was, I met Jessica a couple of months after running the gym, and, you know, we dated, but it's dating is so different than having a family and kids and all those things. You know, now my daughter, you know, walks up earlier, and it's like she's a non-negotiable. 5 o'clock, I go home. There was no going home in 2011.
No.
I mean, the hours you work in the first years to get it off the floor is insane. And so.
Especially when your peak hours are 5, 6 o'clock in the evening. Like, when you go home is when everyone shows up.
Yeah, that's the time to read your daughter a book to go to bed. And, you know, I just looked back at my childhood and I was like, I want to do things a little bit different than how my childhood was. And so when my daughter was born, that's when some big changes, like Granite Games wise and gym wise, like we had to make some big shifts, build teams, and like otherwise it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. As far as people going to the games, I haven't actually read like the official announcement, and I bet a lot of other people probably haven't read either. They just hear through the grapevine kind of what's happening.
Yep.
For people that come to the Granite Games next year, how many people get to go to the games? Is it just first place or just a few podium?
Right now, and again, I think what I will say, and not trying to defend anybody, but this is just purely my opinion. Right now, it'll be one athlete and one team, yep, male, female. But I think what CrossFit HQ is so new, they're trying to figure out, you know, how that's going to flow. Would I be surprised if it goes to two or three? Would I be surprised if they do it like regionals where some of the other events have maybe a couple more spots?
Right.
None of that would shock me. But I think the easy thing to say, we're going to give you one spot.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to give more down the road than it is to take away.
Yeah,
totally.
And I think that's the route they're going with is let's just give them one. And then if it makes sense that, you know, how this whole thing shakes out that, you know, Wadapalooza should have five spots.
Right.
You know, it's justified or, you know, based off the caliber. Look at Dubai. That's a CrossFit games in its own right. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, that's going to be a very tough event to come out of.
Right.
And so I think they're going to play with how one spot affects the outcome. What does two, what does three do?
Right. Like if there's a big event and you have 200 individual men versus another event where there's 50 individual men, yeah, like it's a different competition. Like, are there any restrictions around like where you live, like for like it was for regionals, like where you can just pick any competition?
I think it's wide open. Because like that would be
would there be announcements of like who's already signed up for the event?
That's the
like are you just showing up to any event hoping nobody really really good is there?
Well, that's the tricky part because I don't know this, but I'm guessing the athletes will talk.
Yeah.
Because if you're a top competitor, it would be advantageous to make sure you're not at another event. That
right.
You know, if I'm, you know, Vellner, I'm not going where Frazier's going and vice versa.
Right.
You know, why do that when it's not necessary?
Yeah.
Why wait for that show to happen in August?
Right.
So like I said, it's one right now. I truly believe that it's easier to give more later on than it is take things away.
Right.
And they're trying to see it. 2019's a learning year.
Yeah.
The thing I admire is if you're going to make changes, you know, fast and quick and let's just do it and then be open with rolling with punches. And that was my message to those guys is like, I'm willing to learn as long as we can communicate well and, you know, and I can try to understand what's going on. Like, it makes sense. So one it is for 19 and who knows, it could change.
I assume the relationship that you guys have had with HQ has been good in that you guys went through with this big plan of theirs and are a pretty integral part of it. But one thing I've always learned, so I did the sectional in 2010 and then the open started and I remember literally sitting in the gym being like, oh, this whole thing's screwed, this is never gonna work, everyone's gonna cheat, it's gonna be terrible, CrossFit's over, like what am I gonna do as an athlete, I've been working my ass off and now they take the sectional away. They're always getting better and they're always asking questions, and I feel like Glassman and Castro are always far down the line on kind of seeing where they're going. When you're in those conversations, like what is maybe like the higher level thinking of, clearly there's the financial side that they need to get rid of the regionals and that they just eat so many resources. But how does the conversation feel in the room when you sit down with them and say like, we're down to be a part of this, but what is kind of the big picture and the culture that they're creating with the games now that they've kind of taken a lot of their resources away from the games and moved it to the health side of things?
I think what they realized is, you know, for a couple of years, we were, you know, not to be talked about, right? Like, I was laying in bed last night, falling asleep with Jess.
That is true. I forgot that they would never talk about anyone.
And in that picture of the girl doing the bar muscle up, I think the quote is something along the lines of, like, this is CrossFit. Somewhere I saw that written, and I look over at Jess, and I say to her, isn't it amazing that we can just finally say that out loud?
Yeah.
Because we've always...
You used to be, you probably would have gotten sued 5 years ago.
We've always loved the community. We've always loved this thing, and yet we weren't allowed to exist 100% in the ecosystem. And that's what the team has brought us in. And that's the thing that is, I think what they realize is, like, if we give these guys, like, it's not us anymore, so they're giving up the control, which is impressive.
Yeah.
Because, again, regionals was beautiful. They didn't need to give up the control. But they're realizing, like, hey, these things that exist, whether we like it or not, are actually, they're doing fine. They're okay. They keep happening.
Yeah.
And so I think they realize that if they give us some oxygen, we can actually add more value to the community.
And I've been on the bad side of that when Ogar and all of that really terrible stuff happened. And literally Castro was there that afternoon, like, helping with damage control. And then, like, CrossFit, that wasn't a CrossFit accident. Like, well, what are we then?
Yep.
Like, what is this thing? We have thousands of people here doing this functional fitness thing, competing against each other. Your figureheads are at the event helping us handle this situation, and publicly you hate us. It's very interesting that they come around all these years later, because so many people are putting such good work into making the name better that they can finally bring everyone up and make it a full community event almost.
Yeah, it was, like, I remember doing interviews in the past year, and, like, people would ask me a question, and I'm like, they're like, so you're a CrossFit event. I was like, do not say we're a CrossFit event.
Please don't write that. Yeah, please don't write that.
And, but it feels so refreshing because, again, it's like I've been the guy, I feel like, when everybody's having Christmas, opening their presents, I've been the guy looking through the window, like being like, I just wish I could be in there. And, you know, and part of it, it kind of causes a lot of conflict internally. You're like, are we not doing it well enough? Are we not professional enough? Is our judging not? So, like, you also become insecure with, like, what you're doing. Like, why won't they allow us in? We're raising money and we're doing all these things. We're trying to really help the community. And so when we got the message, we're like, okay, now we didn't jump at it either. That's not the other thing that happened. We didn't just say yes.
Oh.
That was the other side is, whoa, okay, amazing. How is this going to affect our community?
Yeah.
How does it change? Because the drum that we beat is everybody's an athlete. And all of a sudden, we're part of our event is to go be the world's, you know, fittest athlete in the world. And that's very elitist. But we are not an elitist style event. We are a communal event.
Yeah.
We're community driven. So it feels great to be allowed in and be welcomed with the open arms and accepted. And at the same time, the answer was not just, yes, let's do this. It was, let's have a lot of conversations.
At any point, was there any resentment in there of saying, oh, now it's cool. Now that we have all of this and now we've got this massive following, now it's okay.
I think you could maybe see that, but I think ultimately my perspective on business is always people make decisions based off the knowledge they have in the time that they're present.
Yeah.
So I'm never resentful. Like, I've made mistakes, I've said things, I've done things, and what I realize is people grow past it. And so at the time where CrossFit was at, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And at the time we're at right now, it is what it is. So I never hold grudges and I never try to be resentful. I always try to forgive and move forward. And so if this is the path we're taking, yeah, let's take it. And it was what it was back in 2014 and 15 and 16. And that's okay.
Yeah. The where does the event side of this thing go? The fact that we have triathlons, we've got swimming and all that. Swimming's been around. You've got an obstacle course now. What the hell else are these athletes going to need to do? Can you go back to the baseball throw, please? Like, put that one in here and let's see if they learn how to throw a softball at all. But, like, I mean, what are the capabilities of these athletes now in almost in, like, creating a qualifying event for the games? Because that's a piece of Dave Castro's puzzle is the shock and awe of, oh, my gosh, these athletes have never seen this thing before, and now we're putting them on national TV, and they can't climb a pegboard.
Yep. I think save it for the games.
So you guys just, let's keep this thing CrossFit. Let's keep it.
Yep. I think one of the things that somebody said to me today was, your programming is so simple. And I was like, do you know how hard it is to write simple and elegant programming? Like, go ask any of the pros or any of the, you know, team of three that did that assault runner in that barbell workout and tell me that was easy. Anything from easy, it was hard, very, very hard, but it was simple. And if you look at the 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11, all those original years of CrossFit, if you could use one word, simple and effective program design. And so I think that's the thing that always scares me is that when people go to start their own competition, they get the reins, they get the keys to the Ferrari, and they're like, I'm going to do this, and we're going to have to do this, and we're going to have to do this. And it's like, the key is to pump the brakes and say, what are the exact tests that we need to elicit the response that we need to get the winners that we need?
Yeah.
And have it be balanced. And that's what I mean, I always try to write simple programming. Boring, you could say. But allow the programming and the athletes to tell the story. And I think Castro does he thinks of stuff, and I just sit there watching each year, and I'm like, how did he think of that? That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. One of the things with the obstacle course that we wanted to do this year was to emulate that concept, but to go and spin. So he's got clearly a military background, which I do not have. But I also don't have a Ninja Warrior background. But I was like, okay, if we're going to do it, I can't do what they did from that, the couple of years they've done it. We can't emulate any of that because it'll look not nearly as well done. Mm-hmm. What we can do is we can do a version that's a little bit Ninja Warrior, kind of, almost playground-esque. And so that's what we did is we created something that you felt like you're a child again on the playground.
Yeah.
And I think, when I pulled up and that thing was built on Friday morning, I'm like, this looks really cool.
Yeah.
Like, it
looks great.
It looks really professional. That's where I think the programming should go is I think the larger events need to keep it simple. It doesn't mean they can't have a little bit of creativity. Look at, we're using drag ropes here. Never been used, ever. The sandbag that we used a couple years back in the carry. That was the first year the sandbags were ever used. So, and then you see them in the games. And so I'm always going to try to have a little something that the athletes haven't, but I'm not going to try to ever get carried away with it, you know?
Well, the progression of the athlete is just unbelievable. And the Granite Games was the first time I think I told you this the first time we talked, like a person from my gym won the snatch event. It was like the double under and snatch event at I don't even know what year it was, but called 2013 regionals. It was like 255. And then 2 years later at the Granite Games, 12 people snatched 275. And it was like a 10. I was like, what happened last year? Where in the hell are we supposed to go now?
Yep.
And now you've got, what was it, an 18-year-old girl, 17-year-old girl that jerked 235 mm-hmm. at the games? What are these kids going to do?
Yeah, it'll be, you'll see, I don't know what time they clean, but.
I'm really excited about that.
Garrett Fisher might clean over 400.
Someone's going to clean 400 for sure. Yeah.
I like, the first thing when I wrote that workout, I was like, I messaged Rogan, I'm like, how much weights do we have access to? Because it's going to get heavy. I've always wanted to do max deadlift, which I think is just, but they did it at the games here. You hardest part for our event, I love that we're going June because I can write all my workouts now and I don't have to worry. There have been times where we've, go to the games and all of a sudden we have to delete a bunch of programming because it looks too similar.
Right.
I had written max deadlift this year and then the total came out and I was like, beautiful event. I have to go rewrite. And so one of my, what fit in really well this year was, okay, heavy pull. What's the next best heavy pull outside of a dead? Clean. Well, clean's kind of fun. No jerk. Take out the shoulders. They already did tons of shoulder work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the max clean is going to be.
I love that you put a little prize at the end, too. Like, here's your barbell.
Yeah.
If you win, there's a little prize at the end. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Spice this thing up a little bit.
Yeah. Let's, and reward. Like, again, the pro athletes that are coming, we always try to make it unique for them. Like, something cool. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, getting to take home a custom Rogue barbell is pretty neat. I'd like it.
Yeah, I would love it. I would love to be strong enough to even think about getting a free one at the end of a max clean event.
Yeah.
Given that there's two separate ways to make it to the games now, you can win a big competition, or you can win the open. And if you are the number one person in your country, you get to go to the games. Is that accurate the way I just said it?
From my knowledge, and the information that I present, I think that is what it looks like to be. And it's interesting. Just speaking to a lot of the athletes, I don't know which route they're going to go. CrossFit may say you have to do the open. You have to be redshirt to be an eligible athlete. You see a lot of sports do that.
This is a little bit closer to mouth. It got loud in here.
You see a lot of athletes You see a lot of sports where you have to be registered to do their thing, right? The, which would make sense. You have to do the open. But from a competition side, would you rather do 3 days or would you rather do 5 weeks?
Right.
It's, for a professional athlete, the open's very hard on them, not physically, mentally.
Yeah.
Because it's complete losing of their mind of, like, what athlete is doing what. And it's been interesting to say, from the athletes I've spoken with, a lot of them are like, we're allowed to. I'd rather skip the open and just go do the three-day comp because it's it's less stressful. It's shorter, and then they can return back to their training quicker. They can't if they, the open and regionals really ate up a massive chunk of the year.
Yeah, right.
And a very, like, I always say, like, I always feel bad for pro CrossFit athletes. The mental strain that is wearing on them. I mean, it's, you know, it'll be New Year's. I got trained.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like when I played hockey, it was an unwritten rule. Nobody did anything in June. Didn't matter what level you are. You're like, everybody just chilled out. We lift some weights. Nobody's really skating. That doesn't exist in CrossFit. Everybody is, like, constantly charging hard.
Yeah.
Every day. It reminds me of, like, when Phelps talked about prepping for the Olympics. He's like, I swam on Christmas, Christmas Eve, New Year's. Like, no days off. I had to win. And it's like, that's great. But if you're going to do that every day, you're going to be a world champion, but you're also going to burn out.
Yeah. I also wonder how many CrossFit athletes are going to say, I'm going to do my best to try to win one of these competitions, but I don't know who's going to beat these competitions. So now I just have to pick whatever the first competition is after the games and try. And if I make it, great. And if I don't, then I just pick the next one and I try. Now they're competing like all year long to try to get one of the spots as opposed to just prepping for regionals and hopefully winning and going to the games.
Well, and they may not get into all of them either. You know, like, that's the other thing is...
Because you got to do the qualifiers.
You got to do the qualifiers, or we got to figure out how, you know, the invitational spots happen. You know, is that something where, hey, if you're ranked in the top 100, you get a card, and we have to allow so many spots to be open for you to register? Some of those, you know, those details we do not know yet.
What happens when Matt Frazier decides that he's going to do 16 events plus the games and be the first person to make $1 million in winnings through CrossFit alone?
Yeah.
Totally.
There's a lot of fun scenarios that you can play out on who's going to be at what event. And then if you don't qualify, like you were saying, Doug, do you go to the next one? And you've got 16 months if they try and turn this into a season.
Yep.
Well, our season's 6 months long. And the games is at the end. You need at least a month from the last competition to the games for people to prepare or whatever it is. So now you've got a four-and-a-half-month window of 16 events. That's every single weekend. A new gigantic Granite Games is going off. How the hell do these guys or anybody keep this straight and program this thing out so that if you're lucky enough to get to the games and you're inside the top – whatever percent it is to be able to get there, and now it's like it'll be very interesting to see how people go about piecing this together. Well, and I always think no one cares because Bridges or Frazier's just going to smash them when they get there anyways.
Well, the thing with Matt is he basically just went to June and January.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, most likely he'll do Wadapalooza. It's, you know, travel-wise, the easiest for him. And schedule-wise, it makes most sense. You know, Dubai, from a schedule size, makes sense, but it doesn't make sense from a travel side. So he just went from doing all these things, having to peak for, not peak for regionals, but be ready. And now he's going to go January, and then he's going to go August. That's scary. That's a lot of prep time for him.
Yeah.
And he's already essentially unbeatable. I mean, he is really gifted as an athlete. And so I think you'll see a lot of the top five, top ten, they'll punch their tickets early. You'll see somebody like our event, which I actually am excited to see that story unfold, is we'll have some of the last spots.
Yeah.
We'll have kind of that last ticket. And what a cool story that is for our event to kind of be that showpiece. But I think for Matt, he goes Jan, and then he just hops in his shed and goes to work, and he's just becomes unbeatable.
Such a savage.
So
I wonder how many people in the U.S. are just going to scatter around the world.
Yeah, and that's...
You want to open an affiliate in, like, Zimbabwe?
Totally.
Just
Antarctica.
I'm going to the games.
Let's do it.
CrossFit Games 2020.
And do you have to be a resident? How does that work?
I don't know.
That Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that stuff's going to flesh out. What I also think is, you know, there's a lot of questions right now about, well, there's going to be this many athletes. Well, I would say we have 2,000 here, right? They're going to be able to figure that out. They may have to make some cuts happen, which would be logical, right? You're not going to have 600 athletes competing on Sunday. But I think you can get people competing Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. In some way, somehow, you know, who knows? Maybe if you win your country, you get the invitation, but you're not at the real show. Maybe there is a, like, maybe that CrossFit Games is a two-part event. There's the, you know, the lead-up, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Well, yeah, after three workouts, we can cut 80 people.
Yeah.
And are you going to come all the way out here to work out on Tuesday when no one's watching?
Yeah.
I totally would for the T-shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Reebok kit is legit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It's worth the trip.
Yeah, so...
Clothing for the next 2 years.
You know, this is completely off topic, but I see it right now. One of the people that has been so impressive this weekend and is Klipa.
Oh, yeah.
He's just... Yeah. He's been amazing.
You know... When you think you're working really hard and then you meet somebody that's actually working really hard. So we had him at 7 o'clock in the morning yesterday.
Yeah.
And we wake up at like 5:30. We're like, we should get some coffee. Like, it's early. Like, kickstarting a really good conversation at 7 a.m. is like just a little on the early side to like really dig into it. You're like, we get down there. He's already got Stacey Tovar on his show.
Yeah.
They're in there. He's got his, like, Klipa hands going crazy. You can tell he's, like, incredibly engaged. And you're like, oh, I was feeling bad for myself. Like, that's what it looks like over there. That guy gets it.
Well, and the last time we saw him was, like, 11 p.m. the night before.
He was up later than us.
Yeah. We saw him. Like, we ate dinner at the same spot, and then we saw him in the lobby of the hotel. Like, he didn't go to bed at, like, 8 p.m. and then wake up at 4 a.m. and do a show. Like, he went to bed probably like midnight and was like doing his first show at 5. By 9:30, he had done 4 podcasts.
Yeah.
we were at the games and kind of catching up, and he's like, hey, man, let's do a podcast. I'm like, all right. 5 a.m. tomorrow. I was like, nah, man, I'm out.
5 a.m.
I'm not doing that. I was like, if that's what it takes to be successful, I'm cool with my 3,000 followers on Instagram. I'm like, he's an exceptionally hard worker. Watching him prepare for his presentation was, I was like, dude, you got this. Like, it's all inside you. And the level of, like, he, like, looked at me, and he's like, no, it needs to be freaking great. And I was like, I respect it at the same time, but I'm like, you totally got it. Like, you're going to kill it. You know what you're going to present. But his unwillingness to take his foot off the gas, I mean, it was like, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, run it again, run it. I mean, it was like Herb Brooks, 1980 hockey style, like, do it again, let's do it again, do it again. In the morning he came back, 9 a.m. I mean, he ran through the presentation on site here like 6 or 7 times. I'm like, Jason, you have it down. No, it needs to be better. I'm like, and part of me is like, that's also why you were world champion.
Yeah. Right.
You know, he's a stud because he's relentless.
It's one piece I really liked about the AMRAP mentality they got into was the hard work. And everybody sees him on stage, but nobody sees the 8 reps that he did at 6 o'clock in the morning and the 3 hours he put into doing it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it just looks so easy up there. It's like writing a great workout. And oh, your programs are so simple here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it only took me 6 months to write it. I'm glad it looks simple now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a terrible problem 6 months ago.
Yeah. It's
me and Anders have this thing about people where it's like the ultimate compliment you could give somebody is saying that they get it. And that's like totally, when I see Klipa, I go, that dude fucking gets it.
Yeah.
He gets it.
Yeah, you were telling me that you guys interviewed him like 2-3 years ago, mm-hmm. and you walked away and were like, oh, he's way different. Like,
oh, yeah. I didn't know him before that, for that first interview 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, went over to his house, like, did a whole thing in his garage, and I was like, part of the reason that I say he gets it isn't because he has like one silo piece of his life put together. I feel like he has that, and he talked about this in his presentation, like the family man piece, the entrepreneur piece, and the athlete piece. Like, he gets it on all those levels. He has that full package, which is very rare.
Yeah,
it's exceptionally rare. My relationship with Jason, crazy interesting. I never met him, but watching him compete, and I sent him an email back in like 2014. I asked him a business, like, gym owner question, and I just used my CrossFit, you know, I didn't use my Granite Games email or anything, that just CrossFit Fast Factory. And he emails me back like 4 days later. And I just asked him a simple question about something. He emails back the answer. I didn't respond back because it didn't warrant response. And all I did was walk away with, like, wow. He emailed me back. Because I've emailed so many other people.
Yeah.
And they just don't get back to you. And that, to me, like, he was... And he goes, no, man, I respond to everybody. And I'm like, you get it. You get the whole thing of, like, he understands, like, he's doing good, helping others. Like, he helped me that day. And when I could get myself in a position and offer him an opportunity to come out and do, you know, and help him push what he's doing, I was... That's why when I... left that conference, I was like, there's one person I owe a favor to, and it's Jason. Just because the fact he sent me that email, I never forgot it. You know, 4 years later, he gets to come out here, and we get to do some awesome things together, and no wonder why he is who he is.
Yeah,
the success he's had.
Incredible to watch somebody that's, like, succeeding at business almost more exponentially than they're exceeding as an athlete, and he's standing on the podium 5 years in a row or 4 years in a row at the CrossFit Games, which is getting so much better every single year. And it's like, how do you keep getting better? And then, holy shit, your business is growing even faster than you're getting better as an athlete. And then, holy shit, this family thing that you have going on is, like, taking you so far away from everything. And somehow it all seems to be working. He's a freak.
Yeah, he's and you see it, though. You see a lot of games athletes come out and they don't know have that next step.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, I think he picked up speed.
Yeah.
When he's like,
he was finally able to focus.
So I can focus on just one thing now, business-wise, I'm going to kill it. And, yeah, it's he's been intense, focused, and has the ability to execute, and it's impressive.
And very consistent.
Yeah.
This has been a phenomenal weekend. We're only on Saturday morning here. But thank you very much for having us out. Thank you for reaching out to us. Thursday night was an absolute blast. And I can't wait to grow with you guys. And just really grateful that you guys, one, put all the work in over the last 8 years to build this and that we're able to be a part of it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And, you know, thanks for taking time away for you guys, you know, family. And there's a lot of other things that you guys could be doing and not in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And the fact that you guys are willing to do what it is you guys do and inspire the community in the way you do and help change lives is, I feel very lucky to have you guys here on site. So thank you guys for coming.
You bet. All of the updates coming, where can they find you? More info on winning this event next year so they can go to the CrossFit Games?
Yeah. I always just push them to graniteGames.com or hit up our Instagram or Facebook. And, you know, as we get our plan put back together, once we get out of here, it'll be fun. I mean, obviously, there's with the growth of how things are going to change. It's like, do we go to a new city? How do we expand? What is next for us? There's a lot of unknowns right now, which has me completely freaked out. Thankfully, there's so much happening right now that I can't be freaked out because there's no time to focus on it. So, a week from now, it's going to be complete utter panic, excitement, and it'll be. It's going to be the shortest turnaround ever, so it'll be fun.
And you do own a gym in town. What's the name of that gym?
We go by Fast Factory Fitness, otherwise CrossFit Fast Factory. It's been a fun little blessing. Cool little space.
Yeah, kind of the heartbeat of then you get to grow into this big thing.
Yeah, it's been tons of fun, and you know, between running the gym and the consulting work we do with other affiliates. It's been a massive blessing. Like CrossFit's been really a neat thing, neat community. And so, you know, helping other gym owners be successful has been fun. And to put on an event has been fun. And to have a gym has been fun. So,
yeah. Very cool.
Thanks,
appreciate
guys.
It. Doug Larson.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram at Douglas E. Larson. I also have my own site, DougLarsonFitness.com, where I have my thoughts on mostly movement and nutrition, things like nutrition for weightlifters, one of my favorite products, movement specific mobility, and other similar things there. Do technique quads every Sunday, teaching people how to lift weights. Barbell Shrug every Wednesday.
I love it. Find me at Anders Varner, but cooler, get into the Shrug Collective. 6, 7, 8 shows, 20, 50 shows a week. We're cranking out all kinds of fun content these days, but 6 days a week right now. We just hit 1 million episodes, 1 million downloads a month.
Crazy.
I'm telling everybody because that number is just so.
Big number.
Super cool. We turned into the collective things kind of grow and people catch up and figure out what you're trying to do and the message starts to sink into people. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bigger and bigger.
2 months in a row, over a million downloads. I didn't talk about it in month one because I didn't want to be a fluke. Now I feel like we're here forever.
Yeah.
But 6 shows a week, Shrug Collective, Barbell Shrugged every Wednesday. We'll see you guys next week.